Hello, everyone. Welcome to our The Week That Was in Europe podcast. My name is Dirk Schumacher. I'm the head of European macro research at Natixis. And with me, as usual, is Klaus Adam, professor of economics at the University of Mannheim.
Hello also from my side, and welcome back to our podcast series in 2024. So we start the new year with a focus on the German economy, discussing whether or not Germany will again be the sick man of Europe. That is, whether or not Germany is poised for a lasting underperformance relative to the rest of the euro area. This week, the German Statistical Office released a first growth estimate for the fourth quarter of 2023, showing an estimate of a negative growth of minus 0.3% quarter over quarter. And for the year as a whole, 2023, GDP growth was estimated at minus 0.1% in calendar adjusted terms. So with this in mind, let's start with a quick recap of the headwinds that the German economy currently faces.
Yeah, there can be no doubt that this is a challenging environment. First, there's the energy price shock, which arguably hit Germany more than other countries due to its high reliance on Russian gas, not anymore, but back then, and its relatively big share of energy intensive industry, a rather large manufacturing sector, and with that, within that manufacturing sector, a big chemical sector, for example. Second, Russia was an important export market for Germany, but now is not anymore due to the sanctions, even if some exports appear to get rerouted via other countries.
Yeah, and then third, there is also a gradual deterioration in the trade relations with China. This has many facets, but one particularly important one is the rise of Chinese automobile manufacturers, partly subsidized perhaps, who have become serious competitors. And this is adding pressure on the German economy, in which automobile production plays an important role. And to better understand these factors now, we start out with a broad look at the German economy from the demand and supply side, and then we'll try to see whether the weakness is related to specific supply side sectors or specific demand side factors, or whether this is perhaps something more broad based. Of course, all this is a little bit speculative, but we think still useful. And clearly, a fully fledged analysis is beyond the scope of a 30-minute podcast.
So let's start by looking at the relative growth performance of the German economy since the outbreak of the pandemic. So the initial GDP decline in Germany was smaller than the rest of the euro area. Output dropped from the fourth quarter of 2019 until the second quarter of 2020 by around 11%, compared to a decline of around 16% for the rest of the euro area. So euro area minus Germany. But the recovery was in the rest of the euro much more dynamic than in Germany. And as a result, Germany and the rest of the euro area were broadly back to pre-pandemic levels of activity by the middle of 2021. Since then, however, the growth performance between Germany and the rest of the euro area has diverged. Average quarterly growth in Germany since the middle of 2021 has been 0.2 quarter over quarter, which is just a third of the 0.6 sequential growth we've seen in the rest of the euro area.
Yes, so quite a significant difference. So the growth underperformance of Germany has now lasted for more than 2 years and is also visible when comparing Germany just to the other big euro area economies. France, Italy, and Spain have all grown significantly stronger than Germany over the past 2 years. It is somewhat unlikely now that such a long-lasting divergence is simply due to erratic factors that will self-correct soon. Instead, it seems that this underperformance is the result of more lasting challenges or problems in the German economy.
And this is not the first time that Germany has been underperforming. Germany has been called the sick man of Europe in the past when it experienced a period of significant underperformance vis-a-vis the rest of Europe after the start of the Monetary Union. From 2000 to 2005, the average quarterly growth rate of the German economy stood at 0.2 sequential growth, quarter-over growth, while the rest of the euro area recorded an average growth rate of 0.5. This is pretty much the same situation as Germany faces currently. The German economy eventually caught up again and grew again quite strongly during the 2010s, something that is typically attributed to a number of strong labor market and other reforms implemented by the government led by former Chancellor Schröder, but also by globalization taking really off.
Right. High unemployment rates and a dysfunctional labor market were one important source of the German malaise during the 2000-2005 period. But the labor market is currently not the problem in Germany. German unemployment rate stands at just 3%. It's very low by historical standards, and employment numbers are hovering around record highs. So where does the underperformance come from this time around? A good place to start understanding the current underperformance is to analyze different aggregate demand components. That is private consumption, investment, government consumption, and exports, to see whether there is an obvious weakness in any specific component that is holding back the German economy.
Yeah, let's start with private consumption. So real private consumption, adjusted for inflation, in Germany developed clearly weaker than in the rest of the euro area. The level of real consumption is down 2.3% in the third quarter of 2023, compared to the last pre-pandemic quarter, that is the fourth quarter of 2019. While this is true also for the euro area as a whole, it's a much smaller amount, namely only down by 0.5. And this negative number is almost exclusively due to the German consumption level. Thus, lower private consumption has been a downward factor for Germany's output.
Interestingly, it's not because of higher savings by German households that consumption numbers are so weak in Germany. The savings rate in Germany is now slightly lower than it was at the end of 2019. For the euro area as a whole, it is slightly higher. So in Germany, private savings, or lower private savings, I should say, supported private consumption actually more than they did in the rest of the euro area. Weakness in German private consumption mostly reflects weaker real income growth for German households. Real disposable income declined by 1.1% in Germany at the end of 2023, while it increased by 2.5% in the euro area as a whole. This makes up an almost 4% gap in the change of real disposable income between German households and households in the rest of the euro area. And this, it seems, is quite a number.
And interestingly, this gap in real household income is to a large extent not due to differences in inflation rates between Germany and the euro area. Average inflation from January 2021 until December 2023, so latest data we have, stood at 4.6% in Germany against 4.2% in the euro area. In fact, the main difference is due to different dynamics in nominal household income between Germany and the euro area as a whole. Nominal disposable income rose by close to 15% in Germany since the end of 2019, while it rose much stronger 5 percentage points in the euro area as a whole, 19 point something. Partially, this reflects lower government transfers to households in Germany than in the rest of the euro area. The share of social transfers at GDP, for example, rose from 2019 to 2020 in Germany by around 3%, while it was up 4.3% in Germany, in France, 5.1% in Italy, and 6.7% in Spain.
Okay, so private consumption is perhaps one of the big factors contributing to weak demand. Let's now turn to investment spending, in particular, cross-fixed capital investment spending. One issue with euro area figures for cross-fixed capital spending is that they exhibit extreme volatility due to fluctuating Irish investment numbers. This largely reflects the flexibility offered by the Irish tax system regarding the timing of investments in intellectual property. And this invites big US corporates to use this flexibility for tax and other purposes. To circumvent these issues, we compare German investment spending to the other big European economies and therefore exclude Ireland. And here we can see quite some significant differences. German investment spending is down 2.1% from the end of 2019, while it is up 5.3% in France a whopping 23% in Italy, yes, 23%, and also slightly down in Spain, minus 2.9%, similar to Germany. It is noteworthy in this context that the Italian figures are probably inflated by spending on the Next Generation EU program and by a very favorable tax treatment for housing renovations during the pandemic.
What is noteworthy when looking at the overall weak investment spending in Germany is that corporate investment spending has been surprisingly strong. It went up by 23% from the end of 2019 until third quarter 2023, compared to 20% in the case of France and 15% in Spain. In Italy, corporate investment spending went up by a whopping, again, 35%. The relative strength of corporate investment spending reflects strong profit growth. So gross operating surplus of German corporates rose by 20% from the end of 2019 until the third quarter of 2023, compared to 14% in France and Italy and 10% in Spain. So it seems that the corporate sector is actually doing quite well in Germany, at least when looking at profit and investment spending.
Yes, public investment spending, however, has been quite a bit weaker in Germany than in other countries. Government investment spending in Germany is now 3.3% lower than it was in the end of 2019, while it's only 0.7% lower in France, for example. So quarterly figures tend to be very volatile and need to be interpreted with caution. Annual figures for net investment paint, however, a similar picture. Average government net investment spending, that means after taking depreciation into account, stood basically at close to 0% of GDP compared to a slightly higher number, 0.3% in the euro area.
Just to be sure, comparing government investment spending across countries is not straightforward, as some of the public investment spending is undertaken by the private sector, and it's not always easy to get a clear picture of what is actually public investment spending. Nevertheless, we can still conclude that government investment spending has been in Germany a drag on growth. Finally, we need to mention housing investment. This is down 3.5% in Germany when compared to Q4 2019, compared to a decline of only 2.1% in France. At the same time, we've seen the surge in Italian housing investment by 44% on the back of those tax breaks. And Spanish housing investment was down by 7%.
So to sum up regarding investment, headline investment spending looks rather weak in Germany compared to its European big country peers. But there is no indication that this weakness is concentrated in the corporate sector. To the contrary, German corporate investment spending is doing just fine, it seems, at least until now. The weakness in overall investment numbers in Germany is to some extent to a weaker government spending and weaker investment by households, particular housing investment. This is overall good news, I think, as it suggests that the corporate sector, at least in the aggregate, has not given up on Germany as a place to invest.
At least for now, we may should ask, but we'll see. But the final demand component to watch is exports. So German exports recovered nicely after the pandemic, but have started declining again since the middle of 2021. Since then, they have fallen by around 3% in real terms. When trying to explain the strength or weakness of German exports, it's useful to look at global industrial production, i.e. the cyclical ups and down in global industrial production are an important driver. And there has been and continues to be a close positive correlation between exactly that level of global industrial production and German exports. Looking at development over the last 3 years, we can see that the weakening of German exports is broadly in line with the weakening of global industrial activity. So nothing specific here or something that's unusual. It seems to the external environment, which has weakened and then obviously leads to lower export growth.
Okay, it's perhaps also worth mentioning that sanctions that Germany imposed on Russia play some role in the sluggishness of German exports. Exports to Russia stood at 27 billion euros in 2021, that is prior to the start of the war, and then dropped to around 15 billion in 2022 and to 8 billion in the first 10 months of 2023. That's a significant drop, reflecting the new geopolitical situation in Europe. So, summing up so far, the relative weakness of the German economy is present in private consumption, housing investment, and exports. It's thus broadly shared amongst the main demand components, but at the same time, the household sector appears to be a primary source of the weakness, as it contributes both to sluggish consumption and the sluggish investment numbers. On top, external factors, the worldwide industrial cycle, appears to be mainly responsible for weak export performance.
Up to now, we covered the demand side of the economy, that is, how income is spent. But it's obviously also important to look at the supply side, that is, the different production sectors of the economy and how they perform. Again, the question is whether the relative weakness is concentrated in only a few sectors or whether it's broad-based across the economy. The former would suggest some specific problems, while the latter would point to more general malaise. As it turns out, the sectoral picture is very heterogeneous. There are some sectors that grew strongly. The information and communication sector has grown 16.3% since the end of 2019. But there are other sectors that are contracting strongly. The construction sector, for instance, has contracted by close to 6% over the same period. In between are, for example, financial services up 9% and manufacturing down minus 2.2%. In sum, there is a significant degree of divergence across the sectors in terms of their growth performance.
Yes, and certainly the manufacturing sector deserves a closer look for two reasons. First, it's a sector with a higher energy intensity, which implies that higher energy costs should disproportionately hit the manufacturing sector, but is also disproportionately affected by the challenging external environment due to its trade openness. But there's only limited evidence for manufacturing underperforming the rest of the economy. On the one hand, the share of manufacturing in gross value added in Germany fell from 25.1% in the first quarter of 2019 to 24% in the third quarter of 2023, the latest available data. So the share of manufacturing overall value added shrunk. But this volatility in manufacturing output is very large. So if we look instead at the first quarter of 2023, instead of the third, the share of manufacturing output stood nearly unchanged compared to the first quarter of 2019. Moreover, there's an overall downward trend in this number as the share of manufacturing starts to decline somewhat around the early 2017, when it was still even higher at around 26% of total GDP.
But of course, manufacturing output has been strongly negatively affected in some areas. The level of activity in the chemical sector, for example, is still around 20% below its pre-war level. But for the manufacturing sector as a whole, we cannot see a significant underperformance relative to the rest of the economy. But of course, the rest of the economy includes also the badly performing construction sector, which somewhat makes, in relative perspective, the manufacturing sector not look as bad.
So our analysis revealed that household consumption and household investment in new houses have both been important drags on the German economy, next to the external environment, which is driven by the sluggish global industrial cycle and high European energy prices. Some of these factors can be addressed by German policy choices, while others are beyond control. The German government can help supporting household confidence and, through this, household consumption. In particular, it could help bring down construction costs by cutting on regulation and red tape and making housing more affordable. This would certainly be a welcome support for the badly hit construction sector. And let's see whether something like this is in the making or not.
Regarding the external environment, energy prices and further deglobalization might provide a lasting headwind. Also, there is necessarily a lot of uncertainty how energy prices in Germany will develop over the next couple of years, but it's certainly possible that they stay relatively high, and this will weigh on trend growth rate.
Yeah, regarding the possible deglobalization forces, the trade relationship with China is essential for Germany. Germany exported a total of 113 billion euros to China in 2022. This is substantially more than it exported to France, 25 billion, or Italy, 17 billion. And the further deterioration of the trade relationship with China will disproportionately hit Germany. Again, it's hard to forecast how things will develop from here onwards, especially if Donald Trump were to again gain the White House in January 2025. But it appears that the risks here are clearly skewed towards a further deterioration.
On the positive side, the debt level of the German government is significantly lower than those in other big euro era countries. Not least because of this, the German government bond yields are also significantly lower. This will allow the German government to react to structural forces adversely affecting potential growth, assuming it can tap into these sources. To sum up, as Klaus already said, that there's not the one factor driving the underperformance. There are several, but at the same time, it's not difficult to identify some more structural headwinds that will probably weigh on German growth disproportionately and therefore imply that the German economy might underperform in the coming years. Still, quantifying this, knowing exactly how this will play out, is very complicated. But then in the end, the government has some flexibility to respond on many levels to make these headwinds somewhat less forceful. That's all for today. Hope to talk to you again then next week when we discuss the ECB's January meeting.